Now, the saying that history is written by the victors is often attributed to Winston Churchill, although its real origins are actually unknown. The point, though, is that the dominant powers of a particular time are the voices whose version of history tends to be recorded for prosperity. And often we have to dig much, much harder to find the other narratives that provide a more nuanced and fuller picture of events in the past. And that's not always an easy job, particularly going back to times that weren't well documented in general. You know, you only have to look at my school history textbook of the 1980s compared to the one my son is working off at school today to recognize that the centering of narratives is a fluid thing, and thank goodness for that in our case. And today in Book Club, I want to introduce you to a history professor who has effectively rewritten the South African history book to center different perspectives and to draw on a wider array of voices and a vast array of new sources to give a fresh perspective on our more recent past. The book is called History of South Africa, 1902 to Present. And it's my great pleasure to welcome the author, Tula Simpson, to the show. He's an associate professor at the University of Pretoria. He's also the author of a previous work published in 2016 called Umkhonto weSizwe, the ANC's Armed Struggle. Professor, it's great to have you with us on Cape Talk. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Pippa, and all the listeners.
To literally rewrite the history book is a mammoth task. What motivated you to tackle this project and produce this book at this time?
Well, following on from the introduction which you've given, in a sense, I'm centering us and where we are in 2021 in post-apartheid South Africa. I started writing the book in the mid-2010s, where there was discernibly an escalation in terms of the regularity and seriousness of a series of major crises in the country. Now, coming off the Umkhonto weSizwe book, I knew that there was a great deal of material out there which could throw light and illuminate the circumstances that we're actually facing. But because of staying on my topic of the ANC's armed struggle, there was limits to what I could address with regards to that history. Writing a general history of South Africa would enable me to bring those sources to be able to throw light on the present, and also using the present to reinterpret what we consider to be of the greatest short, medium, and long-term significance about the past. So it's centering us in the narrative and where we are, and using that as the basis for asking new questions about the sources and reinterpreting the entirety of South African history from the end of the Anglo-Boer War.
Why the decision to start there? What was it about that night, the end of the Anglo-Boer War? I mean, to take on a history is you know, it's a huge thing and a thing that doesn't stop. So you've got to make a decision. I'll start somewhere and end somewhere. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about the decisions you made about those two pegs in the sand?
Yes, I mean, with regards to the first peg, it was the idea of the moment at which South Africa ceased being a mere geographical term, to the one where it came to denote what we understand it as, history of South Africa as a sovereign entity. What we mean by South Africa is the South Africa that we know and identify today. So what are the origins of the South Africa that we understand today? What different meanings has it taken over time? And 1902 is a peg where you can use that as the beginning point and then let the story unfold from there and see how it evolves and develops.
Mm-hmm. And then the end point, a difficult one, because so much was going on. I mean, you stopped in sort of winter 2021 just a couple of months ago. You managed to include the Free Zuma protest, the riots in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, the ongoing lockdown. At some point you had to go, I'm going to stop and end the book here. But it must have been a heck of a difficult decision to make as to when to do that. Tula, I mean, you write at the end of the book about feeling that that moment of pause is sort of us on a pivot point at a potential massive turning point in our country's history where things could go either way. Talk to us a little bit about the decision of ending there.
Well, when we say the present was a 7-year period, because that's how long it has taken to write the book. So there was literally a point at which a bullet point at the end of my Word document was Val Pottinger. Now that seems like distant past. I mean, that's all pre-COVID. And we deal with the July 2021 riots, which is sort of when COVID seems to be almost an established way of life, which is being phased out. So what is interesting as a historian is using the past to try and navigate your way through this fast-moving present and seeing whether history can stand up to the test of providing examples, parallels, precursors, reference points to understand what's going on. And I think that South African history is incredibly rich and diverse, and one of the verifications of the merits of having undertaken the project, put it in more simpler terms, justifying my decision to treat it as a subject worth studying, is that it does provide that context, it does provide that origins, and it does enable us to have those explanations. At the same time, relating to what I said before, I spoke about the mid-2010s of the country being on a sort of accumulating series of these crises.
Yeah.
July 2021 is, in a sense, a part of that progression, of that accumulation of political, economic, and social stress. It is a marker and a process which hopefully the book can serve as, in terms of it providing understanding, the book can serve as a way of hoping to redress that and stopping that spiral and getting the country on a different trajectory. Mm.
Professor, I mentioned the new sources that were available to you. It strikes me you're in quite a funny position. I mean, historians traditionally have had a hard time delving into some parts of history because of a lack of available sources and printed records, etc. Fast forward to 2021, we're in an age where everybody documents everything thanks to social media. Does that actually make your work harder to sort of wade through the multiple sources that are available to you now?
Yeah, the deluge of detail that you have to go through. Sometimes in one of these COVID-19 briefings, which lasts for it's very difficult. On the one hand, there's a huge deluge of material. On the other hand, the kind of control over messaging that previous generations were able to keep as far as governments are concerned has to a large extent broken down. I mean, it's very difficult to maintain those filters. There's a public space out there, and if you're a player, a political player, I think you've got no choice but to engage there. And there's a huge amount of material which is available. Working through it is tough as a historian, but in terms of the gems that you're able to find, and it's not just, of course, political figures. I mean, their monopoly over information has broken down. In the July Free Zuma riots, for example, you had citizen journalists on the ground providing a great deal of this footage. And whereas if you're writing about in 1921, you're relying on eyewitness footage, in many respects, the eyewitnesses are providing you with visual footage which you can access yourself. So it's a sort of, it'll form, historians have not begun to work through the significance of this change in technology. But I do think, as I say in the preface, that it will revolutionize the discipline in terms of what we consider to be sources, what the problems are in working through them. I mean, as a society and a culture, we're working through the phenomenon of fake news and how we deal with these new tech giants. And historians are inevitably going to have to face that as well. But yes, that's an incredibly rich opportunity, but also the difficulty that it creates in terms of the material is tough.
Well, thank you for doing the sorting on our behalf, Professor Tula Simpson. Final question is, who this book is intended for? Who do you have in mind as your potential reader?
It's for the general public who are living through these times and wanting to have an idea of the kind of context. I just felt when I started writing the book that the need for the book, based on the historical process that I discussed in my first answer from the mid-2010s, is one that would grow. And whereas I felt that maybe in the beginning of the 2010s, people would ask, but why do we need a stocktaking of the trajectory South Africa is on and the origins, I felt that as we moved further into the future, the need for the book would grow. And I do feel that as we go to publication, that has been vindicated in many ways.
Professor Tula Simpson, thank you so much for joining us on the show this afternoon. Speaking to us, an associate professor at the University of Pretoria. His book is called History of South Africa from 1902 to the Present. It is published by Penguin Random House and available in stores now at about 380 Rand a copy. It is a dense, richly detailed piece of writing. An extraordinary level of research has gone into this, and the diaries, the letters, the eyewitness accounts that he has drawn on as part of that research make for some really, really deeply grounded and intriguing writing, and a very, very worthy addition to the history books of South Africa. Professor Tula Simpson, thank you for your time.